Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Again and again, we declare your kingship on the earth. We declare your supremacy on the earth. We declare your dominion on the earth. We declare that you are the king in all the realm of the heavens and the earth. Thank you for being our king. No other person could have been our king. No other person could have been our Lord. No other person could have been our Messiah. Only you deserve to be king. Only you is the uncreated that created all things. The mighty one, the excellent one, the exalted one. Prince of peace, King of righteousness, Lord of hosts, Lord of all, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lord God of possibility, the God of wonder. We bow at your feet, we feel patience, we declare our allegiance. We declare your supremacy. You will reign forever in our midst. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you for the privilege of life. Thank you for the privilege of light. Thank you for the privilege of your blessing. Thank you for the privilege of your truth. Thank you for the privilege of your grace. Thank you for the privilege of your presence. Thank you for the privilege of your wonders. We bless your name. Lord, we worship you. We declare your glory. Lord, take preeminence in our midst tonight. Have your way. Have your way. Let the kingdom come down into our midst. Let your glory be declared. Let there be a decline in the future of humanity. Let there be progression in our race unto you. Grant us mercy, Lord. Grant us blessing. We know we are not sufficient of our own. For knowledge of man is perverse. Knowledge of man is not sufficient. We ask for the download of your wisdom, of your understanding, that those things that are not clear, you will make it clear, clearer unto us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you just greet one or two brethren this evening? Let's felicitate. It's a privilege to be alive. Most importantly, it's a privilege to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we please come forward? Let's move forward. If it is possible for us to take one row, let the latecomers take the next. Just move forward. Let there not be any empty space in your front. We still have empty space. Praise God. Jumoke, can you come forward? Sit down with Barbara. Can you come forward? Sit down beside Barbara. My sister, can you move forward? That's promotion. That's promotion. You will experience it. Move forward, move forward, move forward. Praise God. Once again, I want to count it a very, very great and rare privilege for me to stand and be a blessing. And I cannot thank Pastor enough for this privilege. I'm not essentially excited because I am handling microphone. I am mostly excited because I have the privilege to dig on these things and to find the truth. If that privilege is not given, I will not, perhaps, I wouldn't have been able to know as much as I have known. So please help me appreciate Pastor. Help me thank him. We thank you very much. I also want to thank each and every one of you that have stayed on. Praise God. People say it's boring, it's a boring thing. That this is a boring message. Praise God, I understand. Because it does not attend some your immediate need. That's why people feel that it's boring, and a lot of people want me to leave immediately, and let's not talk about this eschatology again. What does it profit us? Praise God. To such people, God will have mercy on you. Praise God. God will show compassion on you. I found out that the message of the eschatology is the message that if you truly love God, you should eager for it. But the love measure of a lot of people is so low that they are only concerned about what gratifies their needs, present needs. But I know that if there is anything you need most, is this one. Like I said, I have yearned for it as far back as 1989, when Pastor gave me a book, Oswald Smith. Praise God, the prophecy. I don't know if you still remember that book. Oswald Smith, I will return your book. I have my own. Praise God. I've kept that book as far back as 1991. Oswald Smith, I have my own. But I keep on forgetting to bring it. Praise God. I will even bring it by the grace of God. So and you can't read that kind of book and you will not be elicited about it. But many of us, we are very, very poor in reading. We don't even read our Bible. Not to talk of reading novels. And so your knowledge level is very shallow. Praise God. And it is very, very important for you to deepen it. Praise God. This thing come by research. Hallelujah. So this evening, I'm going to do the summary of all I have taught. And by the grace of God, Pastor has announced that Pastor Ugi is coming up. So it will take over from, there are still a lot of things to talk about eschatology. I just pray that if you can finish the rest, if God grants, if that is the aspect that he wants to talk about, if you can still finish the rest, I don't have time to begin to talk about the operation of the Antichrist in his days and so on and so forth, and the siege between him and the brethren. There's going to be a lot of siege. But I know that if we can't discuss this thing. A year is not enough. 2 years is not enough. Praise God. So I'm going to summarize on what I have taught. If I can finish the summary today, fine. But if I cannot finish, if the drama group are coming up next week, I will rest my case. But if they are not coming up, I will use the next week to round up the summary. Because I know that I want to bring everything together and see the flow. It's very important for us to see the flow. So that you know that what this thing that we are talking about, the flow over and again. Praise God. So I want to thank some of you that enjoy it. For those of you that did not enjoy it, bear with me. It is the Bible. It is still the Bible. I'm not preaching my own message. Praise God. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1, that is where we started. Praise God. Verse 28 said, God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And I remember that I'm not going to dwell in that, because Pastor has done a thorough work on it. That was how I opened. I remember that. that I'm not going to talk on those areas again because a lot of work has been done on the dominion of man and what makes us to be who we are, because we are dominion people, we are created as kings and as noble, we are kingdom people, and he did a very thorough work on it, and it will be a waste of time for me to go over that. So I didn't go over, I didn't dwell on that, but the opening, I started by talking about the details of the kingdom. The details of the kingdom. And I remember that my scripture was in the book of Matthew chapter 6, at the Lord's Prayer. Can you please quickly give me Matthew 6? I just touch it here and there. Good, thank you. From verse 9, start from verse 9. He said, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We recognize the Father who is in heaven. Verse 10, there is a connection. Thy kingdom come. So it's established that the Father in heaven is the king in heaven. And so there is need for that kingdom to be replicated here upon the earth. Thy kingdom come. And we said that the kingdom of God is only done when the will of God is established upon the earth. But the will of God upon the earth is not currently absolute. It's not currently absolute. Praise God. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. And I remember I said that there are three spheres of the kingdom. The kingdom now, the kingdom in the future, and the kingdom in the past. Praise God. And one of the things that I said about the previous kingdom is that Adam was a template of that kingdom. He was an identity. He was a material kingdom. Adam was a material kingdom. It was not a spiritual kingdom. It was a material kingdom. Why do I say it was a material kingdom? By the reason of the work that he did and the domination. He practically dominated upon the earth. And of course, lion has no power over him. Tiger has no power over him. All those things that are harming us today does not have influence and power over him. Praise God. So he was a material king. He was a material kingdom of God. In the past, we saw it. It was evidently manifested until the fall. Praise God. And after the fall, there was a decline in the kingdom. As a matter of fact, the kingdom was no longer in operation until the Lord Jesus Christ came. Praise God. So, the word thy kingdom come is the coming kingdom. But the presence of the kingdom was also an inference that the kingdom of God has come, but it was not absolute. It wasn't an absolute kingdom. Praise God. Because it is important for us to remember all of this truth. It was not an absolute kingdom. But the kingdom came in him. And we also saw him doing exactly what Adam did. Praise God. He walked upon the waters. An indication of the kingship over nature. We saw him raising the dead. An indication of the kingship over other things. Death was a king, as it were, over man. But we saw Christ ruling over death by the reason of raising the dead. He was not raising one. He was not raising two. He raised as many as possible. Praise God. But in the book of Matthew 12:28, we saw the material kingdom in place. It is a spiritual kingdom. He said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. So in other words, that established the kingdom. is upon us. It's not a futuristic thing. We can exercise the kingdom. We can live by the principles of the kingdom. We can live by the knowledge of the kingdom, but we must have that knowledge. It must be done on us. The knowledge of the kingdom must be established in us, and we must have the mentality of it. So when we have the mentality of the kingdom, we will operate in the kingdom, because what he did, we will also do. He said, the work that I do, you will do. Because I go to my Father. So in other words, if he casts out devil, it is an indication that the kingdom has come. Praise God. So the casting out of the devil is the displacement of Satan's authority and dominion over man. Praise God. When you cast out devil, it's a display of his authority and dominion over man. So we talk about that, and we go further to look at Matthew 24 from verse 2 and 3. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the mount of Olives. The disciple came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall this thing be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? I have talked so much about that when I was talking recently, that the end of the time, the end time is not the end of the times, but it's going to be the end of the human kingdom. Okay? Now, in other words, this has also established the fact that there is a kingdom that is coming, which will mark the end of the kingdom of the world. Praise God. Now, the kingdom that we have now is a concessional. It's a choice. Okay? It's a concessional. It is not absolute. People can disobey God. Yes, it's the king. People can disobey Christ. Yes, it's the king. Praise God. Of course, every disobedience has a just recompense of reward. But at least they have disobeyed. But in the kingdom to come, there will not be disobedience. That aspect will completely be ruptured. Everyone will align, like the angels in heaven align. Everyone will be obedient. It's going to be a willing thing. It's not going to be by, you won't think about it. There's going to be a configuration of those who will experience that kingdom, that their allegiance is absolute. And there won't be any rebelliousness in that kingdom. Praise God. So in other words, we could see the picture of the kingdom coming. That is going to be an absolute, is going to witness an absolute obedience unto the truth. Praise God. It's going to be an absolute obedience unto the truth. Then, praise God. So, I think that was all about what I talk. I'm just summarizing it in the first week. That's the basic summary of what I said in the first week, that the kingdom is in three phases: the kingdom now, the kingdom to come, and the kingdom in the past. Adam is the template of the kingdom in the past. Now, and we are the template of the kingdom come. I mean, the template of the kingdom present. And Jesus Christ is coming in, and we have a material kingdom. It will be real. It's not going to be a spiritual kingdom. Praise God. Now, second week, in the second week, I remember I spoke from the book of Genesis chapter 1. Can you give me book of Genesis chapter 1? Verse 1, yes. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Praise God. Basically, I dwell with the word void, which indicates emptiness, desert, desolation. Praise God. That the word void is desert and desolation. But there is a time lag between the beginning and the creation. In the beginning, there is a lot of time lag which we don't know, which nobody knows. But I also remember that I said that in that beginning, the earth was inhabited. Praise God. That the world was inhabited. But we do not have an idea of those who inhabited the earth. But we can only have a hint. There are hints here and here and there, who that suggest unto us the certain people that dwell upon the earth. Praise God. Now, I also want to say this, that, go to verse 1 again. Verse 1, yes. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That is not the beginning of the present earth. That's an emphasis in my second week. That was not the beginning of the present earth. And remember, I took you to the book of 1 Peter in chapter 2 or thereabout. That was not the beginning of the present earth. But what we saw then, the earth was what? Was recreated. When he said created, it's not talking about what happened in the present earth was the recreation of the earth. The first earth was created. I don't know whether you understand. Okay. Let me use the book of Peter to explain. So that it will bring 2 Peter 3. From verse 6. He said, whereby the word that then was. And I told you that the word that then was not the word of Noah. Do you remember that? It was not referring to the word of Noah. It wasn't talking about the word of Noah. Being overflowed with water, perished. Why do I know that? It wasn't the word of Noah. The word of Noah was not perished. Praise God. At least we have Noah and his family living. We have some animals living. As a matter of fact, when that dove was sent out, he came back with what? With leaves. That means it wasn't talking, because the first word was completely void, empty. Do you understand that? But the word of Noah was not void. It was not perished. And the word perished is the same thing as void. I remember I dwell on that. It wasn't the same. So it wasn't the word of Noah. It was referring to the beginning, which the word perish. Praise God. So in other words, that what was perished in that word was those things that dwell in the word, in the first word. You remember those things that dwell in there was it was empty, it was void. The earth still existed. Do you understand? Is it clear now? The earth still existed. There was an existence of the earth at that particular time. But the earth was not inhabited by anything. There was no moon. There was no sun. There was no star. There was no all those activities that could make life to exist upon the earth. But in the world of Noah, things that could make the earth to exist were present. But it wasn't present in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. It was not present. Those things were not present. Do you understand now? Those things were not present. So, he said, now verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now. There's an heaven and the earth that are now, and it's our present earth. By the same word, are kept what? is tall. And I told you that it was not a creation. Do you understand? They are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. In other words, when the ungodly men ceased upon the earth, when he destroyed the ungodly men, when there was a complete annihilation, which is going to take place at the last day, again, even in our present world, when there is a complete annihilation of the ungodly men, then he will bring forth a new world. Praise God. He brings forth a new world. We call it New Jerusalem. I don't have time to go there. New Jerusalem. So he will bring forth a new world. So that was exactly what happened when he said, let there be light. There was light has always existed, but it was not reflecting upon the earth. He said, let there be light, let there be this, let there be that. And so, in other words, what he did then was to make the earth habitable. Not just for humans, but everything that has breath. Praise God. It's just to make the earth habitable. So, and so we look at that. Like I said, we do not have the absolute fact about who inhabited the earth of the beginning. We don't have. But there are hints here and there that could tell us or that could give us a clue that, oh, okay, probably these are the people that dwell upon the earth then. I remember I go to the book of Revelation 12. Revelation 12 from verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the old world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angel was cast out with him. Now, in other words, it is evident, we all know this fact, that when Adam was created, Satan has already existed and has been cast upon the earth. He was already on the earth. He was older than Adam on the earth. Do you have doubt over that? Huh. So, in other words, and I remember last week, when Pastor was talking on Sunday, he said, he also become. In other words, there was a flesh upon the earth before. Adam was not made flesh. Satan was not made flesh. But as soon as he fell, he became flesh. So there was the presence of Satan upon the earth. So we have the hint that it was Satan, according to the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 that we read, that it was Satan and his cohort. Permit me to use that cohort. Or Satan and his demons. Because you must not insult them anyhow. Sir. Yes. So Satan and his men were the inhabitants of that earth. Praise God. They were the inhabitants of that earth. But I think the judgment of heaven was not sufficient. Okay? Because basically we're supposed to be seeing them walking like human. Do you understand? We're supposed to be seeing them. But God needed to judge the earth where he was cast to. Again. There won't be a place for you. Because he was physically, his angels and him were physically walking upon the earth. They become whatever they want to become. Talk about it. Satan, they want to become serpent. They can become serpent. They want to become lion. They can become lion. They want to become dinosaurus. They become dinosaurus.
That's the kind of life they were living. And so God said, okay, you think you have found a place. Then there was an utter destruction again upon the earth. And so a place found no more for him. And some of them become spiritual beings instead of living as a material being. And so they look for habitation to dwell and to operate. And they find man, they possess him. Praise God. They find wood, they live in wood. How many of you noticed that a tree was caught somewhere and they find all kind of cooking material there? I'm telling you, I won't forget in a hurry, there was one terrible tree in our village then. You can't cut it. You can't cut it. It took the Aladura people, the Aladura, the cherubims and seraphim them, to come over and deliver the village from that tree. You cut it, it will stand firm again. Very mighty tree. It will stand firm. At least I witnessed that. They were dwelling there. Praise God. They were dwelling there. They possessed men, they possessed animals, they possessed all kinds. Of course, we saw the swine that Jesus Christ cast demons out of them. That was their dwelling. He cast into swine, yes. From someone. He didn't even cast it into swine. It was swine. They possessed swine. They entered into swine. And the swine, do you understand? So you can see how they were living because they were no longer material beings. And this world is a material being. It's a material place. Praise God. So that gives us an hint that, yes, it was Satan and his servants that were dwelling on the earth. Then we look at the book of Jude chapter 6. And we said, how did this thing happen? Jude 6 told us that, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And I make a guess. It was a guess. Please. This is a guess. Could it be, before Lucifer fell, that they were dwelling on earth and they were sent unto heaven and appeared in the presence of God, but he was not contented. He wanted to be like the star of God. He wanted to be like the star of God. He was not contented with his habitation or his estate. He said, I can also sit down in the Mount of Zion, in the habitation of God, and dwell in the midst of them. And God said, there is iniquity in you. Praise God. That's a guess. I remember I emphasized on that. That could it be? Praise God. I don't have any evidence to establish that. But I know that when God begins to unveil the scripture more and more to us, we will find those things in the Bible. Praise God. Bible is a coded book. So, but even if then we also see in the book of Ezekiel 28. Okay, let me not waste time so much on that. On the third week, we look at God as supreme king of all realms. That God is the supreme king of what? Of all realms. I remember I used Psalm 24. Keep none. He holds the word. I am the owner. Psalm 24. The heart is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in. The word world there talks about cosmos. It's not a system. Praise God. So the earth is the Lord. He owns the earth. And because he's the owner of God, he's the owner of the earth, he is the supreme. He has absolute right, authority and dominion to govern where he chooses to govern, to rule where he chooses to rule. And that is why we see the sovereignty of God on certain occasions where he overruled the counsel of men. Praise God. I remember we look at Nebuchadnezzar, where he said that, now I know that God rules in the affairs of men. So, in other words, when, in all the realms of the universe, God is the king. Now, Matthew 17. Can you give me Matthew 17? Please go down. Okay, if I cannot see that, let me, can you give me the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30? Now, where I am looking for is where they said that, is it lawful to give, do we give treaties to Caesar? Tribute to Caesar. If you find out, if you know where it is, can we give tribute to Caesar? And he said, of what inscription is and superscription is? He asked for a coin. And he said, Caesar. He said, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God, to what belongs to God. Do you find it? You can't find it. Now, in other words, God tributes. The tribute of God is our worship. The tribute that we need to give to God is what? Is our worship. And I said, Matthew what? Okay. And that worship is not, I lift my hand to the Holy One who was and is. It's not that one. It's obedience and submission. That's the tribute. The tribute of God. A lot of people have been offended. Somebody say, once I give God his food, you are limiting God. He's not a mortal man. He doesn't eat. Praise is not his food. He doesn't eat food. That means if you don't give him a food, if you don't give him praise, he can't be sustained. Do you understand what I'm saying? We must be careful. He doesn't have food. God does not sustain by your praise. Before man was made, he's been living. Before angel was created, he's been living. Before the heaven was made, he's been living. Where was he living before the heaven was made? How can you now say ọpẹ ló ń jẹ? Ṣé wọ ló ń fún lọpẹ ngbà yẹn ni? So we must not limit. He's not a mortal man. He's an immortal. So he is not sustained by praise. His kingdom is not sustained by praise. Okay? But his kingdom is essentially established through obedience. Praise God. That is what establishes his kingdom here on earth, our obedience. You are saying, yes, you are my Lord, and so on and so forth. Praise God. Let me quickly rush. Now, First Samuel, Party that I said you should give me. Verse 10. There's something that is important that church must learn, and David pursued. I remember I told you this one, you know, is a template of what church should be. Now, what do I mean? The kingdom of God on earth does not have one person as a king. Do you understand? He does not have one person as a king, like we think. He doesn't have one person. All are kings. All are priests. All of us. It does not make anyone a king, any one person a king over all. In other words, I can't say, I am the king over all. Now, pastor has the privilege of being a pastor or overseer of the church, but that does not make him a king. Do you understand? Now, of course, he has certain things that he gives that we derive from him. But Joshua has certain things that the entire members of the body could also derive. We all have something to give. That is what makes each and every one of us kings and priests. Now, of course, the kings are sustained by the resources and wealth of the kingdom. Praise God. Those who follow the king of the earth, they are sustained by what? By the resources of the kingdom. In the same token, we are also being sustained by the resources of the kingdom. I hope you understand that. We are also being sustained by the resources of the kingdom. And I am one of the resource. He is also one of the resource. He's a resource person. I am a resource person. Pastor is a resource person. Barbara is a resource person. We all have resources which others could benefit. All of you have resources which I can also benefit. So he, in his own wisdom, he doesn't make, in this kingdom, he doesn't make one a champion. Praise God. Something went viral on the social media. All of you might have come across it when a plane overshoot the wrong way. And somebody was praying in that place, God of Bishop Oyedepo, God of Bishop Oyedepo. And there was a lot of controversy on social media over that why can't the person say my God? Why must he be the God of Oyedepo that to rescue him? Why not his God? That means they have not introduced him into the God of heaven, who can also become his own God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That they have not introduced the God of heaven, who should also become his own God. I said, thank God that I'm not the only one who has been saying this thing. So it's the God of all. It's not the God of one person. If you have relationship with him, you are born again, you are not living in sin. He is your God. So you can say, my God and my Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have not gone to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So at that particular point in time, he has become my God. I don't need to say God of Pastor Sheyi. But if that is what your faith carries, of course we don't teach that in this church. You're on your own. Praise God. You understand what I'm talking about? So, he's the God of all. We are all have resources to give to one another. You have your resources. The template is that, this story was that they went into the war, but some people are weak. They could not go. But at least they kept the household for David and the warrior. They kept the household. They must have prepared food for them when they were coming back. They must have done something useful. And the Bible said that the son of Belial, among the warrior, the mighty men of David, said, no, we are not going to share with them from the spoil that we bring. And David said, no. All must have share. I remember I used the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The manifestation of the Spirit of God is given to profit with all. So all of us, we have something to lay down in this kingdom. There is no one without a resource. There is no one without a value. There is no one without a purpose. It's only because you have not discovered yours. Go and discover it. God has not called you to sit down in the church just like that. There are many great prophets among you in works. But you need a lot of knowledge before you can say, I have become prophet. Yeah, otherwise you become a fake prophet. Praise God. In the fourth week, I talk about the angel as the prince of the throne. Angel as the prince of the throne. And we look at Daniel 10. Daniel 10, 13. Daniel 10, 13, thank you. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests. Praise God. In other words, there are other chief princes. And when they say one of the chief priests, that means all other angels are priests, but they are not the chief prince. Do you understand? All other angels are also priests. They are priests of the throne. Angels are priests of the throne. Now, when I say the prince of the throne, don't equate them with Christ. Please. There's a lot of difference between their priesthood and Christ's priesthood, if there's any word like that. At least for the purpose of understanding. Do you understand? So it's not, he is the prince of peace. He's the prince of God. But the prince of the throne, they are the one who stand before the throne. They are the one who stand before the throne for instruction. He said, withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. I told you that we can divide those angels into battalion. We have Michael as one of the commander of a battalion which is in charge of warfare. We have Gabriel, who is also in charge of a battalion, who is the chief, the commander of the good news. They are the one who spread the good news. The third one would have been Lucifer. Praise God. So Lucifer is also a chief prince. He's a chief prince. He's among the chief princes before his fall. He's among the chief princes. And we must understand that truth. The prince of Persia that withstood this man, he withstood an angel, must be of higher rank. Must be of higher rank, higher prince. So he withstood you. They don't know that. They didn't tell you that I'm the governor in this area. Where are you going? My friend, sit down there. And the guy sat down. Kole resist. Nobody resist. Kolagbara. He said he withstood me. In other words, he made effort. But the effort of that prince supersede his own effort. See, the operation of God is very mysterious. He gave them king. That's why he said the gift and the calling of God is without repentance. In spite of the fact, he's not human like me and you. You can imagine if somebody is in my, and I gave him power. So that you won't use it against me. You know, how many of you will do that too? Almost all of us. At least, drop it. You can't go with it. Praise God. I remember one of my cousins came to live with me. And she misbehaved. And we have bought a lot of things. When she was going, I said, drop those things. You're not going to go with it. It was my wife that said, no. Let that just go with it. And it pained me that. I'm telling you, it pained my former mother abuse there. Especially there was one posh bag. In the school, where that girl was attending, they thought I was rich. Of course, they were sending invitation cards that I should come and be chairman of the wedding, chairman of luncheon. Because the way we kitted that girl, So I said, you will live with all this lie. You can't go with it. Go and experience your poverty where you came from. Drop it. That's man. Don't laugh at me. You will do it. Praise God. Anybody, any human being, because it pained me so much that you I just look at it that this guy rejected me. King Mofeshifu, I said, Mr. Jew Tony. God would have said that to all those angels. I said, drop off everything that I've given you. Go and live miserable life. But he didn't do it. He allowed them to go with those things that he endowed them. And they are using it against us. But mark what? Mark it. He also gave us gifts in which we can also overcome them. He left no one without gifts. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, we see Luke chapter 1 verse 19. The angel asked and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God and sent to speak unto thee, to show thee this glad tidings. That's what the angels are. For angels are not to obtain worship from man. They are priests. We are kings. That's the difference. Okay? They are priests. We are kings. But they also have power and authority over man presently. But the time is coming when man will rule over angels. Don't you know, remember what Paul said? He said, don't you know that it's you that will judge the angels? If you cannot judge this small matter before you, how will you judge angels with their wisdom? But it's not now. We don't have the wisdom to judge them now. We don't have the capacity to judge them now. But by the time of regeneration comes, the little Tunde will judge angels. My friend, sit down there. That's judgment. Where do you think you are going? Just sit down there. But the strength and sin. We don't have that wisdom presently. So some of you that say, I command you, angels, be careful on how you pray. Oh. Angel is not your mate. They are prince. I command you, angel, go and bring this. Go and bring that. Be very careful. God, we have us in Jesus' name. Then we also see the Lucifer, who is also the third prince, the prince of his presence. Thou art anointed cherub that covers, and I have set thee so. That was upon the holy mountains of God. It was upon the holy mountains of God. The holy mountains of God is the presence of God. Angels are the prince of throne. They dwell in the throne of God to receive instruction. That is their makeup. That is their makeup. And it's important for us to understand that area of their life. The same thing goes. We also see the same thing in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. Praise God. Now, the fifth week. In the fifth week, we talk about the kingdom of God is absolute. The kingdom of God is absolute. Now, this is where I try as much as possible to explain to us that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably. And it means the same thing. What Luke was saying, what Matthew was saying, when he called it the kingdom of heaven, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, let's look at Matthew 4:17. Now, look at it. It says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent for the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the same narration, in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15, the same narration, Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is the same narration. They reported it differently. So the kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. Don't let anybody review that the kingdom of heaven is quite different. Yes, the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God upon the earth is there is absolute submission of heaven But the head is yet to respond. Praise God. That's all the difference. But by the time the head responds to the kingdom, the template of the kingdom of heaven will be established. What we see in heaven, or what they experience in heaven, is what we will also experience here upon the earth. So it's the same thing. Praise God. The same thing in the book of Matthew 5, verse 3. He said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew was using the kingdom of heaven. Luke 6:20. He said, look, he was talking about the poor, it's the same narration. He said, then he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is what? It's the kingdom of God. It's the same narration. So there's no, don't let anybody rev you and say the kingdom of heaven is when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about the kingdom of God. It's the same thing. Absolutely. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, like I said, the earth is there to submit entirely to the authority and dominion of God. But God in his suffering power could superimpose his will upon man. Praise God. He has over and again, he can superimpose. When he wants to do a thing as a king in this, in our midst, he will do it. There's not anybody can do about it. Praise God. If he wants to do a thing in Nigeria, it doesn't matter Buhari's power and authority and his military. He will discomfit them and he will do whatever he wants to do. He has done the same thing in the days of Abacha. Do you understand? He superimposed his will. It is not him that win an election, no. No. So the sovereignty of God is what makes him a king. Is what makes him a king overall. But he doesn't do that because he allowed man to operate in his own free moral will. He didn't shut down the mind of man. He didn't shut down the will of man. He allowed us to operate in our own will and get destroyed if you want to get destroyed. Though he wants. He sent the Holy Spirit. If you have one, don't travel that path. But if you insist, that's the path I want to travel. Okay. Abraham has joined himself to the world. Let him alone. Praise God. So we also go further to say that the kingdom of God is not the same thing with church. The kingdom of God on earth is not what? The same thing. But church is the entry point. John 3, verse 3. Church is what? Is the entrance to the kingdom. Church is just an entry to the kingdom. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? See, verse, what verse? Verse 6. Is it verse 6 again? Go there, please. 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. So it's only those who are born of water and of the Spirit that are in the church. That they are members of the church. So in other words, we see church as the seed of the kingdom on earth. And Galatians chapter 1 verse 5 told us that Jesus is that seed. Is the seed of the kingdom that was sown upon the earth. Okay, is that it? Galatians 1? Let me check. Oh, sorry, 3:16. Give me 3:16. Galatians 3:16. And now to Abraham and his seed, while the promise made, he said not to his to seed, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is what? Is Christ. So Christ is the seed that was sown to the earth as the kingdom. And the church, he established church as an avenue to spread the kingdom. In other words, church was not given any other assignment apart from the assignment of the message of the kingdom.
Praise God.
But church cannot preach the message of the kingdom until salvation of soul is preached. When men were saved from their sin and they are rescued from death, then they cannot begin to preach about the message of the kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop by 6:30 for question, so that if you want to ask question again. So in other words, I emphatically said it, that church transcends, the kingdom transcends the church. The kingdom transcends the church. It's very important for us to understand that truth. I'm going to stop at this. Praise God. That is the summary of first week to fifth week. By the grace of God, if the choir, if the drama are not coming up, as Yemi said, I'm going to round up the next week. And whoever pastor wishes to take over, will take over. I don't know if you have any question to ask me. If you have any question, if you don't have any question, I will invite pastor to come forward for his thoughts on what, yes. Please give him mic. Hallelujah.
My question is concerning the ministry of God's strength in the sense of which Peter and his agents were before the coming of man. I'm not really clear about that.
I didn't say God destroyed Satan. I got this.
Yes, you said that.
Genesis chapter 1.
Yes, there's this new boy that perished.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not clear.
Okay, please. Okay, thank you very much. Genesis 1. Go back. I want us to look at it. We will look at it in a literary minute. Genesis 1. And the earth was without form. Okay? That means there was an existence of the earth. Abi, are you clear with that? There was an existence, because this thing, the earth was, but it has no form. That's what that scripture said. The earth was, but it has no form. In the fourth verse, he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I remember I said that there is a time lag between that beginning and this issue. Okay? He now said, and the earth was without form and void. What is the meaning of void? Let somebody check dictionary for us. Please, quickly. The earth was, but it was void. Do you have it? Anybody? Oh yeah, please come and give him her mic. Barbara. Did you hear that? Containing nothing. Uh-huh. Not filled. That means the earth was, it's okay. Containing nothing. That means the earth was in existence, but it contained nothing. And I said that there was no sun, there was no moon. Nothing could possibly inhabit the earth. Especially with the state of the earth then. Okay? Is it clear now? So, the earth was without form. The earth was, but it was without form. It was void. It contained nothing. There was absolutely nothing that could dwell upon the earth. But the earth was. But that's not nothing. There was darkness. Everywhere was dark until God began to say, let there be this. Let there be that. Let there be that. Before the earth began to have form. Before the earth was filled with men. So, and what I said is that means, now, the only thing that was created, man was not recreated. Okay? Man was not what? Recreated. Man was a new creation of God. As at the time when he created man has never been in existence. So man was not a recreated work of God, but a new creation of God. Possibly he was the only new creation of God. I don't have that fact, but I know that man was not in existence before now. When he said, when he created Adam. So man was a new creation of God. And the reality of that new creation is what we are experiencing in Christ. Do you understand? When a man is born again, he's a new what? He's a new creature. He's a new creature. That's the reality of it. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. Are you clear? Okay, please give him mic. Hallelujah.
I'm not trying to be controversial here, but he said there was a time when you're doing your course of teaching. He said,
draw that mic. Okay.
He said, the earth had in Africa in them. They had in Africa in them. That was the earth that was destroyed in 2 Peter 5, chapter 3, verse 6.
Can you give us that 2 Peter 3, verse 6? Of course, you have misquoted me. Thank God I'm asking you to, because I don't want you to go, anybody to go out and misrepresent Bola Bello. Okay? Now, look at this scripture. Whereby the word that was, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, I did not tell you that the earth was inhabited. That earth was inhabited. I told you that we can only make a guess. As a result of hints that were given to us here and there, and I remember I quoted about 3-4 scriptures. Jude 1:6 was one of the scriptures I quoted. Isaiah chapter 14 was one of the scriptures I quoted. Ezekiel chapter 38 was one of the scriptures that I quoted. Even in spite of all of this, as he said, this is just a clue. Do you understand now? So I'm not establishing it as authority. Like Pastor was talking on Sunday. I am not an authority to tell you that, hey, these are the people that stay in the air then. I'm not saying that. I didn't say that. So I only said we can have hints here and there that could provide a clue that probably these are the people that inhabited the earth. Especially Jude 1:6. He said, the angels that left their estate, he has reserved for the days of what? For destruction. Where is their estate? Where did they live? I don't know. Do you understand? I don't know. But I said that it is an end. Then in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38, he said, thou art in Eden. Can you give us that scripture? Thou art in Eden. Ezekiel 38 verse what? 28 verse what? Please quick 14. 28 14. Ezekiel 28 14. Okay, look at. Thou art the anointed cherubim that covers. That was the day of his glory. And I have set this so. Thou was upon the holy mountains of God. Thou hast walked upon the... No, this is not it. 10:13. Verse 13. Okay, check verse 13, please. Verse 13. Look at. Thou hast been in Eden. Eden is there on earth. That is where men were kept. But even with this, it's just a mere clue. I am not affirming that this is what God is saying. Do you understand now? I'm not an authority to say that, I didn't live with them. And we don't have an evidence of somebody. Sir, were you there? Do you understand? But he said, thou art in Eden. It's a clue. It remains a clue. Do you understand? So don't say that, I said that air then, it was the angel that, but Pastor Bello did not say that. Is it clear to you now? Thank you very much. I'm coming, sir. Oh, you want to contribute? Okay. No. Yes. Well, if the earth was void, of course, as a matter of fact, the question you're asking was not my area that I am supposed to teach. But I will still go back to make research on that. I can't give you an answer now. Otherwise, I will just begin to guess. And I don't want to guess. But I have lived in an environment that when you walk in the village, you won't have that experience. I don't know whether you will have that experience, sir. When you walk in the village, in the dark, in the night, and you come across the river, you will see that the river is extremely what? Dark. He said, if you are not careful, you will fall into it. Extremely dark. So, this question, maybe Pastor will attempt it. I don't have an answer for it. I don't know why the Spirit of God was hovering around the water. But I also charge you that you can ask the Holy Spirit. That, okay, Pastor, when you come up, you will give him the answer. Yes, sir. I think this will be the last person. Sorry, before you ask, I want you to ask your question last. Do you understand? That's not the work of angels as ministry spirit. He said, are they not the ministry of angels sent to the heir of salvation? That is convention message. Maybe that's the title of our convention. I don't know. Okay. The way you are going to do. But by the grace of God, we will look into it. When time permits, maybe any of us can take it up and discuss about it. But it's not a kingdom, it's not related to the kingdom.
Praise the Lord. Let me ask you the question I have in mind
to ask.
You said something about the issue of the angels, and then I think that's all the Lord is saying. There were very clear issues about our manifestation as the children of God.
Pastor, come and take over.
had his dad give his name. Because it was Job that told us how the waters flowed forth. Genesis did not tell us how water was made. But if you want to read Job chapter 38, when God made the first one, he said that earth had dimension. It must have been fallen. He said, you know who laid the foundations and who measured, you know, the span and all that. It was a carefully designed edifice. And if you read that, he said, when you make the water fall forth from the moon, what that moon means, I don't know. But only if you give us the clue to how water was made. But if you read Genesis 1 shows us that water already existed. It's just that that world was somehow was submerged underwater. And that's what would suggest that something happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1, because there was no account of the creation of water. But if you read Job, we will see the origin and how water came to be. So it can only suggest what, like I said, that there was something. Water was not accounted for in Genesis 1, but Job was able to account for water. I think that is a small perspective that I'm bringing into it.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Praise God. When God made the heaven, he didn't say heavens. He made heaven and earth. Water was present in that verse 1. Because we never saw earth until verse 9. Give me verse 9. We didn't meet the earth. What you call the earth today started in verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. Now, if you go to Revelation, in the New Jerusalem, the Bible says there shall be no more water. Rather, there shall be no more seas. In other words, it's as if the original mind of God, there ought not to have been water in the first instance. But we found that in this one there were seas. Now, geography, they taught us in geography that the earth is seated upon molten lava. Is that those of you that study geography? But may I ask you, where did the waters come from in the days of Noah? The Bible says God broke up the depths and the waters gushed out. And the water was so much that it covered the highest mountains. You know what the volume of that kind of water. So, and after another 40 days, the water receded. Where did they go to? Where were they kept? My theory or my hypothesis is that the earth is not floating on molten lava. We are floating on water. The water is kept somewhere, and it's part of the balancing act of God. Is that okay? Now, when it comes to the angels, I didn't want us to delve into that. I've been turning these things over in my mind. I've been asking you for permission to delve into the angelic. I know somewhere, true seekers would like to grab this thing. I'm trying to be sure that I have this permission for us to enter into it. And like Doc was asking, actually in the kingdom, there is a relationship between us and angels. Because many of us do not understand this, and we don't understand how those dynamics work. We are not effective. You may not know that even healings that we say happens in the church, they say, in the name of Jesus be healed, and people begin to fall and they get healed. What do you think is going on there? It's the work of angels. Praise God. But Bible does not encourage us to seek it. I don't know whether I'm making sense to you. They don't respond to you. They respond to God. So when you come under submission to God, and you say, in the name of Jesus, they become compelled to move. But you cannot say, Angel Michael, my chef, my Lord God, Jesus. He won't answer you. And if a spirit answers you, it was not Michael that responded. An entity, another entity has responded. What Egan said is called, you see, Egan was teaching something, and this is one area that we may need to go and look at properly. Because of all many ministers, he appeared to have had this experience with the angelic that could be of blessing to us and a better understanding. One day, he said he had a vision. I don't know whether it was open vision or closed vision. I know it not. Praise God. I can't remember. But he said he was talking with Jesus. There was a demon issue. He was talking with Jesus. And they were talking. There were two different issues. Okay. Don't let me speak about the demon one. And as he was talking, he said there was this mighty angel, almost 15 feet tall, that was behind Jesus. And as he was talking, the angel was agitated. He was agitated. And he just ignored the angel. But at a particular time, he had to ask Jesus, so what is this with this guy behind you? What is he pacing up and down for? And Jesus Christ said, he has a message for you from the Father. And he has been trying to communicate with you. So you have not been paying attention. I said, but Jesus, you are here now. Why? Well, we are on the same level. Praise God. He said, no, it's not his job to be telling you what they've already told you. And because we don't understand that, so until now, said, okay, what is the message? The angel said, I'm the one sent to back up your ministry. He was the angel behind the caretaking ministries. And he had headmistresses and other angels under him. And he said, there's a particular, I began to give him instructions. Now, if you don't understand this, you cannot understand the book of Revelation, when he was talking to the angels of the church. Are you with me? Every activity, every enterprise of God, the angels release for those enterprises. And they communicate with the lead man. They download. And how do I know? Again, I have to look at the other side. And because we know that Satan basically copied the operations of God. Do you understand that? Now, history told us of Alexander the Great. I don't know if I've read or watched the film, the historical film of Alexander the Great. Now, before Alexander came, Daniel had given the prophecy, this story that Pastor read about Gabriel and Michael confronting the princes of Persia. He said the prince of Persia had been judged. Now come the prince of Greece. The prince of Greece is a prince, is an entity. And these are princes that rule with Lucifer. They are fallen angels, but what characterizes them is wisdom. They don't possess trees. The one that Pastor said, the people who enter trees, those ones who enter trees, those ones operate in the heavenlies. When Paul was writing Ephesians 2, he said you were under the, how did they put it in Ephesians 2? You that were once dead in sins and trespasses, as they quickened, you were under the prince of the power of the air that walketh in the children. Those are the princes that walk. Now, the reason why Nigeria cannot be anything, you people don't understand. Nigeria can't be anything because the prince controlling Nigeria has to be dethroned before anything can happen here. You must dethrone that prince. And it's not ordinary man that are using dethroning prince. You can write thesis, you can abuse Buhari tomorrow, we can kill all the Fulanis, and we'll still be where we are till tomorrow. Because there is a prince that governs. Now, when he gave the prophecy about the prince of Greece coming, history told us, and of course we must have watched it in 300 and all those documentaries, of all the nations that the Persian army attacked, it was only the Grecian nations they were not able to subdue. In spite of the fact that the Grecians at that time were fragmented. They were always fighting civil wars among themselves. The Oba of Akure
will not see the Oba of Egypt. But even there, with their fragmentation, the mighty Persian army could not subdue them. I don't know what I'm making sense. So, in one of the frames, I think the next one, after the 300, the Exarchus also told his son, said, don't fight the Grecians. Said, it will take only a god to subdue them. But he said, no, I will do. Of course, history now went on. Now, they had been fighting the Grecians for a few hundred years, and they were not able to subdue until Alexander rose up. Now, historical records said there was a particular something somewhere in Athens that they said, whoever can unknot that thing will rule the world. People have come from all over the world who were unable to unknot it until Alexander came and cut it. And from that day, his spirit rested upon it. The thing downloaded wisdom. That Alexander knew how to demolish. By that means, he annihilated the whole Persian army. From that small Greece, it spread out, took India, took everywhere. They said when he's fighting, that prince is always observed in the air as an eagle. He always flew over Alexander's head. And nothing will touch him. No sword will touch him. No, he will go to battle and come back and he'll still be fresh. You don't understand. Paul, David said so now. Then you kept me. You touch my hands to war. You think when he swings sword, you think he's ordinary sword. Because his skill, anointing, spirit operates. You understand? These things operate by spirits. Amen. Now, Alexander became that because it was part of the prophecy. Remember when they were talking about the head of gold? It was time for the Grecians to come to power. So God dislodged the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece came, when it was time, and they prophesied, part of the prophecy, pastor was reading it, he said, and he will be broken suddenly with our hands, and his throne will be divided into four. He said they will never attain the glory of that four something. And that was not exactly happened. Alexander died at the age of what? 30 something. 93 or so. And when he was going to die, they were asking who should take over among us. There were four generals. Who should take over? And he was going to say it. And he died. From right there, civil war broke out in Greece. They never attained it until the prince of Rome came. So we are dealing with princes. And so these are the Gentile nations that God keeps giving it to one. Once you try your own, you come and take it from you. Give it to another prince. Take it from me. Give it to another prince. He's just doing that while he's preparing his own and he's raising them. So when you look at prophecy, where is the place of Nigeria in the prophecies? All of you say Nigerians have gone to NASA. We are doing, yes, we'll be going there. That's the best we will end up doing. But that things will work in this country. It takes a prince to rule over this place. To be, it will just take the head of state, and the person will not put Kayari, who is the chief of staff. He will put him there. He will look for one smart guy. He will put him there. He will look for some smart guy to put in charge of commerce. He will look for that prince will pick those people. What will be seen is that the man has brain waves. He has very good ideas, and it will give him the ability to bring those thoughts to pass. He's a prince. Hallelujah. So when you come up and say, Pastor, God has called me to go to Alagbaka, when I look at you and I cannot see those angels and all those things around you, I know you are just wasting your time. Does the prince of that place, that seat is not ordinary seat. There is a prince that sits over that seat. There is just the governor is just a physical representation. So what are we doing now when we talk about the angelic? Or the angels of God. Primarily their job is tied to salvation. And it's tied to the expansion of the kingdom. Because we saw in Revelation that there is an angel that has the everlasting gospel. He is charged with the everlasting gospel. Those guys are powerful. Praise God. I don't want to preach about angels tonight. But sir, I hope I have tried a little bit. So where do they work with us? That is an area we have to go and study. There's a connection. We may never see that. You may never be blessed or honored to see an angel for the rest of your life. But that does not mean you should not be aware that they are there always with you. He said, I'll give angels charge. I'll give them charge over you. They will watch you. When you go to cross and you just say something, say something. It's not something. Angels, no, she said. There are days I come here and I have nothing to preach and I open my mouth to be as if somebody is talking into my hearing. Then I know it is not me. You may say, Pastor, I was blessed. I know the secret. I've not seen the angel, though. Praise God. I don't know how it looks like. Whether it's green or blue, tall or dark, I have no idea. But a book will help you if you want to know a little more about angels. Go and get this book, Angels on Assignment, to open you up. They are there. All of you, there are angels watching over you. They follow you as you go and come. Every day they are watching over you. They have an assignment to make sure that you make it. But you may not be aware. And it is interesting to know that there are a lot of angelic sighting in Acts of Apostles. It was normal. In America, those guys see angels in America. I don't know why we don't see angels in Nigeria. I don't know why. Praise God. Nigeria. When they look at our dose there, they just say, Kai, Lord, we should not. If you an angel appears to one brother, he will start a ministry of the angelic. You can't trust a Nigerian with some of these things. How many people have we had that Jesus appeared to? Even the ones he did appear to have already started ministry. They've scoped us. Can't trust the heart of a Nigerian. Maybe when our heart is right, these things will become. But I've heard of brothers who have seen angels. They've seen angels. Praise God. And you can only see angels when the gift of discerning of spirits is in operation. You will see it. But we are too busy. Wala Nigeria poor. You wake up with Wala, you go to bed with Wala. How will you see angels? Because your mind is not tuned. Your mind is not set on God. And so, I don't know, but I really think we need to spend time with the angelic and talk about it. But, because this will not suffice. This little that I just said will not suffice. Like I said, those people excel in strength. They do His bidding. And that's why when you align with His will, you will see them operate. But when you don't align, you make their life miserable. It's not every time angels go to heaven to go and rejoice. Some of them go to go and give bad reports. They are unhappy when they come. They have to report you to God. God will say, how far? He said, the guy is not cooperating, sir. You don't know where Paul said, I don't frustrate the grace. You think it's anointing. It's not anointing. Angels want you to go this way. You say, no, I'm going this way. They say, no. There is no way here. God said, this is the way we should go. Is it by force? I'm going here. The angel will have to go back to God. This guy is difficult to guide. Praise God. He's giving me problems. And if nobody is praying for you, you may frustrate that angel and he will leave you. He will just leave you alone. So the dynamic walking, Holy Spirit, like one other thing that we need to understand is that they like you said, they do His bidding. You must know what He wants before you can expect them to do your bidding. Like I said, when you are traveling, it's not the blood of Jesus that protects you. It's the angels that protects you. It's the angels that protect you. One stupid man wants to cross roads, come and jam your car, and they just find that his hand turns like this. Who do you think went to turn it? It's the angels turning those things now. It's God. He sent His angels. Are you conscious of His angels? You're not conscious. None of us are not conscious. There are people who... You have a question. No. I can't take questions. People are writing exams. I came up to round up. I didn't come up against the fake questions. I want us to respect those who are still writing papers, because it's a promise I made that we'll try and leave on time. So I'm trusting God. If you can get the book, I think the book should be available on Amazon. I don't have a copy anymore. Somebody borrowed my own copy. And you know, brethren are very good at borrowing. Like, I don't know that pastor still has my book. I don't know. Since 1991. Can you see God? Can you see where God has exposed? There's God in everything we are doing. So if you two have some of my books, please be kind. Let the Lord touch your heart, return it. Amen. I have one of his books. I deliberately held back to his book because he has many of my books. Praise God. Primarily because I've not even read it. Because I'm preserving that book for another time. Because I want to read it. It's a book about covenant. That is the best exposition about covenant. And many of these people that write these things are not pastors. That's the funny thing. They are not pastors, you know. They are not popular. But by the time they pen those thoughts down that God gave them, wow, they are blessings. You may not have a pulpit ministry, but the Holy Ghost. Look, the person that put together Dick's Bible was not a pastor. Am I talking to us? Neither was the man that wrote Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have read Pilgrim's Progress? My God. Look, pastor, we should start Bible school. The Bible school, one of the books we must read to graduate is Pilgrim's Progress. So before you graduate from the authorship, go and get Pilgrim's Progress. The original version. Not 20 pages. The real original is very, very volumetric version. You understand? That book was penned down in a jail. When the man was in jail, penned it down. Praise God. And some of you get inspirations. When I was driving to Port Harcourt one time like that, I had an inspiration. Mere driving, the driving experience, God began to use it to preach to me. Unfortunately, I didn't pen it down because I'm a Nigerian, you know. Yes, we don't read, we don't do anything. But God have mercy. Pastor, thank you very much. I appreciate Pastor.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.